And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, every Thursday from 2 to 4. Again, thank you to Ron Schertz, the owner and the majority owner and CEO of the Arizona Rattlers, great arena football team out here in Phoenix. In fact, they're so great, Greg, is they won the Arena Bowl this year. Can't get better than that. There's no way that's like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and they're building a great foundation there. I think there's going to be more championships to come.
There's no question about it. And, of course, our film guy right in studio, Joseph Erdo. How are you?
Great.
Or as I call you, Joseph Iardo.
Yeah.
I like that better, but Iardo. I just can't say it.
Iardo, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Bring
that's
some spaghetti with you, you know, Joseph Iardo.
Wait, I wouldn't mind spaghetti.
I wouldn't. Yeah. Here? Well, hey, I didn't bring it. I thought that.
Oh yeah,
Tom, go get a spaghetti.
Yeah, let's cater. Well, we're real excited and honored to have a star and a hit of many different films, including V for Vendetta, 28 Weeks Later, Jane Eyre, Fright Night. The list goes on and on. She's only 23. How is that possible? Imogen, did I say that right?
Imogen, yeah. I think we'll have to ask her.
Yeah, Imogen Poots, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. How are you doing?
Well, we are great. Did we pronounce it right, Imogen?
Yeah, you did. That's all good. It could be Imogen or Imogen or what have you.
Wow. That's the first time that Dave's pronounced a name right.
Yeah, I can't believe
that. Dave and I share the same last name, and he still pronounces
yeah,
my name right.
I don't even get my first name right. So, Imogen, or Imogen, I hear you're at a film festival and they're honoring you?
Apparently so, yep. I'm in Napa Valley, and it's all good. And we've got a screening of the film tonight. And everyone keeps asking me whether I've had wine yet, so I'm feeling the pressure to get involved.
Wow. So, there you, get, you mean it's like an Academy Award type of thing where you're going to be, they're going to announce you as a winner?
Well,
or do you
like,
hope?
It's like a tribute, I suppose. But no, it's gonna be really, really good fun. So it's very sweet of them to have me here hanging out. It's
you know,
good.
By the way, I love your accent.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that sounded like Elvis Presley when you said that. Thank you very much.
Even better.
No, that was I just love English accents. That is so cool. And let me ask you this, and then I know everyone's just dying to ask you questions. But at age 23, that is so young to have so much success.
Is it? I don't know. I feel pretty prematurely middle-aged.
Oh, really?
By this
but
point.
It really is, because if you look at most people, I mean, most people are still wondering what they want to do. Here you have already starred in so many different films. How does that feel to be 23, or do you take it? I mean, how do you take it? What's your perception of yourself?
It's funny in a way, because I guess the last few years have gone by pretty quickly, and each of these experiences can be so transient, so you really want to hold on to them as much as you can. But it's just been a blast, and I feel really, really lucky to be able to do the thing that I love as a job and do it regularly. But it's I completely agree with you. It's a funny place in life, too, and you're still learning so much about the world and about yourself and all these things. And it's great to know that within yourself you're going down the track that you want to be going down, and be able to take part in these projects and see the world this way, too. It's very special.
Well, what better teachers could you possibly have than, I mean, in this latest movie, A Late Quartet, you're with Christopher Walken and Philip mm-hmm. Seymour Hoffman, Catherine Keener, the later two play your parents in this. You know, how does that feel to be in a movie with them? I know you've been in others with other actors, but...
No, you're right. I mean, the company on this was just extraordinary, and it's just a gift to even take part in, you know, the rehearsal process was so organic for the film, and really just observing and being as much as a human sponge as possible, because just watching these guys at play and the generosity they really give up to you as actors was something very, very special. But I really looked to it as one of the greatest experiences I've had, you know, making a film, because... It was rich with so many different elements and just, yeah, those actors in general were just really, really, really blowing my mind.
Well, and you definitely held your own. I'm not allowed to say what I thought of the movie yet, because it opens tomorrow here in the Valley at Camel View, but I think I can say that your performance is excellent.
Oh, good time.
You play a talented violinist who, you know, as I said, your father and your mother are also in this quartet, and you decide to act on your own desires. Do you play the violin, or how'd that work?
I don't know. It was really a very short period of time. We all had to really knuckle down and get as good as this as possible with the instrument. But again, it was a real joy to do because it's a very rewarding process. Because of the tight time schedule, it was moving quite fast, you know, and it's quite a steep learning curve, but really, really enjoyable and essential, really, in terms of the foundation of the character and wanting to learn it all weirdly in order to forget about it, because you wanted the instrument to be an innate quality within her and almost like an extension of herself, like an extra limb or something. But no, it was a real gift to have the opportunity to learn that.
Now, Imogen, the first movie I saw you in, now, even though this came after some of your other hits like V for Vendetta and 28 Weeks Later, was Solitary Man with Michael Douglas and Susan Sarandon, Danny DeVito, Mary Louise Parker. Great cast. And I was like, wow, who is that? And you were phenomenal in that.
Thank you.
What was it like, you know, working with that type of cast as well, with, you know, Michael Douglas, Sarandon, Danny DeVito?
Yeah, it was extraordinary. And I'll never, ever forget Michael Douglas's generosity to me during that as well, because I remember sort of rocking up in New York like a jet-lagged lamb and not really knowing what was what. But, again, just a really, really great, solid cast, as you said, and just... Even when I look back to that, that seems a long time ago, but it really wasn't, just a couple years. But just very, very special. And making a film like that in New York was brilliant because it's a real character within a film like that. You know, it's a small movie and the guys directing it, two of them, Brian Koppelman and David Levine, I had such respect for them from day one that you therefore trust so much in your fellow actors and your directors that... you just end up having a great, great experience.
Now, a different type of movie, obviously, than Fright Night, of course, having to run away from Colin Farrell, who's,
I know,
you know, chasing the guys.
It was so hard.
Yeah, I was going to say. Now, with Christopher Mintz's place, does McLovin follow him around everywhere when you guys are on set? Does everyone still call him McLovin? Or?
No, not at all. That's the thing. When you actually meet Chris, it all goes out the window. It's very upsetting. He's way, way cooler. And it was hilarious working with those guys. They're such a hoot. And it was good times.
You know, I saw 28 Weeks Later, and here's a question I have. You know, that's considered, well, obviously, a scary film, a horror film. When you're acting in that, do you at sometimes get so engaged in what you're doing that you think it's real?
I guess you got to some degree, you know, running around London with all these half decapitated human beings is kind of hilarious. But no, you do have to invest in it because it is the scary parts of it were really the idea that somewhere as great and such a metropolis as London to be deserted is something that you can relate to any sort of epidemic or kind of tragedy within a society. But there's also another side of it where you suddenly see a zombie with half his face missing, just tucking into like a sandwich, and you're just like, what is going on? Is that ketchup or blood, or what am I putting on my sandwich here? But it was a hoot and such fun to do that in my hometown as well.
Well, we can relate to that. We just had elections here yesterday. So anyway, another question is on this point, 28 Weeks Later, how long does it take you to sort of wind down from a movie like that, very intense, and to get out of character?
Yeah, it definitely takes a while in terms of scene to scene because it's such heightened drama. So it certainly takes a while to get down from that. And again, I always look to the director in some sense as the choreographer of your movements and your performance. And that was directed by Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, who is a very, very... he can be very intense and simultaneously very gentle. And so you sort of, I remember when I was just turned 17 when I made that film. So I really looked to him to find guidance in terms of how far you let yourself go and coming back from that again. But it's an important thing to do, I think, to really go there and not be afraid how far you want to push it.
Excellent. Well, I want to bring us back to this latest film, A Late Quartet. Yeah. You know, since I've seen it, you have so many highs and lows in this movie, emotional highs and lows. And
sure.
I love the scene when Catherine Keener catches you in the apartment, and I mean, you're having fun with it. You're not worried about that getting caught in a awkward situation. But where does all that emotion come from, both the highs and the lows?
Well, I think in terms of Alexandra, she's a pretty insatiable character. Without giving away too much, you know, she really is not afraid of her own actions and her own opinions, which is a slight sense of her immaturity. She's kind of seeking sophistication, but shooting herself in the foot in many ways by worsening the situation for everybody else. But in many ways, I think she's seeking fulfillment and then contradicting that by throwing it away again. And I think her position is very interesting because of how remarkable her parents are in terms of their talent and their ability with the instruments. And it must be kind of wild when you're going down the same path as the professions that your parents are in, because you question whether you're doing it to please them or for your own identity and all of these things. So I think there's a lot of the questions Alexandra is asking herself.
Well, Imogen Poots, we know you have a lot to do today. Good luck at the film festival. They're honoring you in Napa Valley. Well-deserved.
Yeah.
And we encourage everyone to get out there and see The Late Quartet.
I guess opening
tomorrow, huh?
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I just love your accent. Would love to have you on again. And we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. And congratulations on a great performance.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow. And that was Imogen Poots. What a sweet girl. I mean, well, I shouldn't say girl, she's 23, but a sweet young lady. I mean, she sounds so together. And I don't know, I just admire that, you know, when people are so together and take their success in stride. And I bet there's so many great things to come for this young lady.
Well, that's a huge reason why she's already so successful. And, you know, you look over here, I mean, she has a lot more in development I'm seeing here. So there's a lot going on right now with her.
Yeah, and they're challenging roles, too.
I mean,
you know, she's up against, again, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Christopher Walken, Catherine Keener.
She's great. I love her.
Yeah,
one of her bigger movies. I think she was in The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah,
she was.
That was
one of my
funny
favorites.
She was good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was. Yeah.
Paul Rudd and Steve
Carell.
Yeah.
That was funny.
This is 40, the kind of like, well, no, it's
the
not. It's
sort
not
of
a
sequel.
It's actually for Knocked Up.
Yeah.
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 So, same family of movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, this is great. Well, let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we will do some movie reviews.
Absolutely.
And then coming up, Wayne White, American artist, director, illustrator, best known with
Pee-wee's Playhouse, yeah.
Wow, this is going to be great. And when is that? At 3:40, I believe, right?
Yeah, 3:40.
So stay tuned, but we're going to do some movie reviews when we come right back.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, every Thursday from 2 to 4. And, of course, Breakthrough Thinking is on Monday through Friday, 2 to 4, with Breakthrough Sports Wednesday and Friday. And that was just fabulous. Imogen Poots, great, great young lady.
Yeah, she is. And very talented as well.
Yeah, there's no question. I just love her accent, though. That's a nice accent.
We had someone from London last week.
And, right.
I mean, she was calling from the Napa Valley Film Festival, but we're a worldly program, aren't we?
Yeah, well, that's true. And no one got my joke when she was talking about 28 weeks later, where I said, yeah, we just had an election. We understand how that can work. All right, not funny. Okay, that's my political commentary. All right, so we got some movie reviews. Everyone loves the movies.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
with popcorn.
Yeah.
Harkins popcorn.
Harkins popcorn.
I love their popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh,
and AMC, yeah, I was going to say. It's not an Ultrastar.
Yeah, there's a lot of good popcorns.
Cinemark.
So what do we got, Joseph?
Well, let's talk about one of the smaller releases. We spoke with Jodie Thompson from this movie called The Bay. It was playing exclusively at the Harkins Valley Yard. It's still there tonight. And this is a movie. It's a found footage movie about a mysterious parasitic outbreak. And sounds interesting, right? Do you like found footage type films?
What is a found footage?
Kind of like the Blair Witch Project.
No.
Well, how about you, Greg?
I do. It depends, you know, like Paranormal Activity, the original one, I liked. The others were okay, but...
I had nightmares for years after that. That's why.
Well, I loved the Blair Witch Project. I've been having some problems with some of the, you know, recent found footage movies. This is the... this very well may be the worst found footage film I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, seriously. And I've seen some really bad ones, too.
Should we throw it into the bay?
We should. I wish that, you know, the unfortunate thing here is Barry Levinson directed it.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a pretty big director, it's one massive mess of scenes that are edited together with seemingly no narrative whatsoever. And I don't even think that Levinson got enough footage for the film, because they keep replaying these things like we forgot, you know, 10 minutes ago what happened, and they show it all in recap. Oh, it's one zine.
One zine. That's a low zine.
Yeah, it's a low zine.
Wow, that makes oxygen. That was good, right?
I'm just going to interrupt real yeah. quick, just in case for some of the listeners or for Dave, you know, who's singing Barry Levinson, some of his movies include 1984's The Natural, Rain Man, of course, Good Morning Vietnam. So this looks like he's went downhill.
Yeah, where did it all go wrong?
What happened with that?
Well, I mean, I don't even know why he would have made this film in the first place. I don't remember what his last movie was, but it was quite a few years ago, I think.
You know, his last movie is The Bay.
Right.
He did the TV movie You Don't Know Jack.
Yeah.
I believe. What was that, Al Pacino?
Al Pacino.
Yeah.
That was okay.
Yeah.
That was okay.
Oh, that was that about the doctor?
Yes.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
What's his name, Jack?
Kevorkian?
Yeah.
It? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a good movie. Though.
Yeah, that was a good one. This one's a bad one.
Well, I guess that can happen, right?
Yeah, it could happen. I mean, it's just, if you like found footage in films, I would still avoid it. I mean, yeah. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Don't eat popcorn when you watch it.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to, well, it's a parasitic outbreak. There's a lot of blood
and weird
stuff in that.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to eat popcorn.
Yeah, so, but another one of the smaller films, we'll see if this one's any better. It's called The Details. I told you about this a little bit last week. Tobey Maguire plays a man who, after a family of hungry raccoons ransacks his perfectly manicured backyard, becomes single-mindedly obsessed with eradicating the pests by any means necessary. The relentless rodents are they rodents?
I think they are. Raccoons, right?
Raccoons?
Yeah.
The only thing I knew about raccoons is the Beatles song, Rocky Raccoon.
Well,
right?
Well, I think Donald Trump's set of hair kind of looks like a raccoon.
He's going to start his own party, I understand. It's not a celebration party. Okay, sorry about that.
I have no clue. I don't know.
Well, they're not. The raccoons aren't the only problem that Tobey Maguire's character has. It also overturns his entire existence with his wife, Elizabeth Banks.
Like her.
Yeah, she's great. And Laura Linney's in this.
Oh, she's good, too.
Yeah, she's a great actress. Tobey Maguire, I mean.
Very good actor.
Yes.
Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit, Spider-Man.
Nice. Yeah.
There's a little nod to Spider-Man in this movie. They talk about Mary Jane. I'll just say that. I don't know if it was intentional. I took it as intentional, so maybe I'm giving it credit for, nothing. But, you know, the synopsis makes it sound a lot of fun. It makes it sound like maybe a suburban Caddyshack. Unfortunately, it's a little bit too far out there. It's just the gags are all over the place, and I don't know whatever the filmmaker, his name is a writer director named Jacob Aaron Estes, whatever he was trying to establish here, just doesn't work despite the solid performances.
Wow! So how many zines?
We'll give it two zines.
Two zines.
Better than The Bay. We'll just that'll be our
low point of the evening.
Yeah.
So two zines, and if people don't know, this is the magazine. So we give up to five zines when it's excellent.
Yes.
And can we give zero zines? Is that
possible? No, I wouldn't give zero zines because there.
Is it ever possible to give a zero zine?
I don't think that it would be because you have to give them credit.
Okay, so
They got it made. That's a big accomplishment in and of itself. So we might as well not add insult to injury.
Okay, so we it's either one through five zines.
One
through
five, yes.
This has to be two zines, the details. Who do you got next?
And next up we have, we'll talk about another small one, The Little Red Wagon. This is based on a true story, an eight-year-old boy who sets out to help homeless children in America in the wake of Hurricane Charlie. He walks across the country and must overcome bureaucrats and blisters to capture the hearts of his fractured family and the entire nation. It's not a documentary. This is it's based on a true story. It's a dramatization of it, and boy, this one also gets two zines.
Zines. Now tell us why.
It's one of the movies that it's just kind of sappy and corny all at the same time. And the acting is absolutely horrible in this movie. Chandler Canterbury plays the 8-year-old boy. I think he does a terrible, terrible job. His mother,
poor little guy.
Yeah, poor guy. I'm so mean.
No, I mean that he needs acting lessons. No,
yeah, he does.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
He's on line one.
Well,
go to your room. No.
Well, the sad thing is, his mother in the movie, Anna Gunn, she also needs acting lessons as well.
Well, with a name like that.
Yeah, right. Actually, Anna Gunn.
I mean, Anna.
Yeah, no. And then DeVay Chase is his sister. She needs acting lessons.
I mean, Olive A. Chase. No, who's DeVay Chase?
I don't know. They're a bunch of
they're such great actors. They said the director said pretend you're bad actors. Maybe they're really good.
Maybe
it might have been because when he worked with Nicolas Cage on Knowing, that might have just changed.
That. Wait, who did that? The little kid
Chandler.
Thought he was good in Knowing, wasn't he?
But Nicolas Cage used to be good, and then who knows?
I don't know. I still like Nicolas Cage.
Do you like Knowing?
I like Knowing
too.
It's goofy, but
yeah, a little goofy. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, it was a good movie and a little let down.
So
but
he was
good.
The kid. Okay. Yeah.
But I wish that here that there's a subplot involving this woman played by Frances O'Connor and Dylan, a boy named Dylan Matsky. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But they're a homeless family, and And their story is much more compelling, much better actors. You really feel for this family. So I don't know if that part of the story is true. Certainly feels true. If they had they focused on that and forgotten about this kid with the little red wagon, yeah, we would have had to change the title, but we would have had a good movie.
So two zines on this one.
Yeah, two little zines.
And these are all coming out tomorrow.
They came out last weekend.
A couple of weeks. That's right.
Last weekend.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who else have we got?
We've got a small movie. Again, a small movie, but this one might be around for Oscar time. So we'll give you a little hint there that it's not two zines. It's called The Sessions. And in this, John Hawks plays a man who at age 38 is determined to lose his virginity despite being confined to an iron lung. So with the help of his therapist, played by Helen Hunt, and the guidance of his priest, William H. Macy, he sets out to make his dream a reality.
Good cast.
A really good cast. This is also based on a true story. I'll just say that. And John Hawks is amazing in this. He's been in Me and You and Everyone We Know, one of my favorite films.
Me, You, and Everyone We Know?
Yes.
Which movie is that?
It was a couple years ago. Real small movie. He's in a lot of indies.
I don't know anyone that saw that. Oh, you said Everyone We Know.
Yeah, Everyone We Know.
Okay. So Sessions.
Yeah, this is really good. This is it's tremendously touching and remarkably rewarding. There is some nudity in it. Helen Hunt has some nudity in it, but it's done very tastefully. Yeah, bummer, right? But it demonstrates that disabled persons deal with much more than what one might just think. I mean, we think that they just, you know, they can't walk.
So it had
a
good, profound message.
Yeah, very profound message, very inspiring. This is a really great film.
Rated PG-13?
I think it might be R. Yeah, it's rated R.
Yeah.
How many zines on this one?
I'm giving it... four zines.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah, so this one's a good one. And the flick makes you feel good to be alive, regardless of your circumstances. Even if you're in that iron lung like this character, you're going to feel good after this movie.
Wow.
And you think this will be around during award season?
It could be. Because of the performances, and it is a feel-good movie, it might get swallowed up by a couple of the larger releases.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, good. Good for them. Helen Hunt's great, though.
Oh, she is.
And Macy, very good.
Oh, always, always.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we have room for one or two more.
Sure. Well, let's talk about Flight. I've talked about this a couple of weeks, but we couldn't review it.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington plays a seasoned airline pilot who is hailed as a hero after a miraculous... after he miraculously crash lands his plane, saves a bunch of people, but also a few people die in the process during a mid-air catastrophe. And more questions are answered, we don't know if it's his fault that the plane crashed or if it's something else. Might have been at the liquor cabinet a little bit. And so I don't know. This one... I really wanted to like it. Denzel Washington is great in it, but it also falls apart in mid-flight. Well, maybe after the flight, because the flight part in the beginning is excellent. He flies this plane upside down, but after that, it just there's some comedy that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be making fun of this kind of make light of a situation like this. John Goodman is excellent, but here he just doesn't work.
Bummer.
Yeah, so I'm giving it three zines.
Not
too bad. It's still worth seeing. It's a little bit long. It's 138 minutes, so two and a half hours.
Couple popcorns,
mm-hmm. Sure. You'll be not wanting to weigh yourself afterward. Uh-huh. you know, so it's all right. If you want to give it a chance, go ahead. I mean, I'm not going to blame you for that. It's decent, but it's not going to be around for Oscars.
And it is Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington.
So he always a pretty good favorite among moviegoers.
Yeah, and it's directed by Robert Zemeckis as well.
Oh, very, very
Polar
good.
Polar Express and all that great stuff.
Yeah, but look what Barry Levinson did.
Yeah, that's true.
What can you do? His last movie, The Bay. No.
Do we have time
not.
For one last
yes,
one?
Yes, we do.
All right, Wreck-It Ralph. This is an animated film, the voice of John C. Reilly. He plays a video game villain who, tired of playing the role of a bad guy, takes matters into his own massive hands and sets off on a journey across the arcade through every generation of video game to prove that he has what it takes to be a hero. So he's going over, Sonic the Hedgehog. He's going over, name some other video games. The Pac-Man.
Thor. Yeah, Pac-Man. Yeah, yeah.
Thor?
Thor.
Thor. Video games.
Oh, how about...
What are you thinking about?
I don't know. What's that guy?
Q-Bert?
Yes, he's in it.
Thor was in the guy, Bridges, Jeff Bridges. Oh, Bond?
I don't know. Is he checked out?
Yeah. Did you go to Colorado?
I had a couple zines today. Are you? Isn't there a thing called Thor, a movie? All right, video games. The monkey thing, you know.
The Donkey Kong. He's not in this. Well, the thing is, I think Nintendo didn't want to... I don't know if Disney didn't want to buy the rights or something. So there's some hints to it. But I'll just say Mario never shows up.
Mario Brothers.
Yeah. Right. Okay. There, wow, he's caught up now.
There we go.
But Jeff Bridges,
he kind of look like
he just did something in a video game. I thought it was called Thor.
Tron.
I said Thon. That was rhymes with Tron.
Tron.
Wow.
All right, we got there though.
Right, we got there. We got there eventually, but you know. So I don't know. Disney has gone downhill, since they were. No, this is not. Oh. I'm not talking about this movie. Mm-hmm. Unless it is a Pixar movie, it's not that great.
Oh.
This, you know, earlier this year we had Brave, which I didn't think was a very good Pixar mm-hmm. movie. I thought it was the worst Pixar movie to date. This deserved to be a Pixar movie. You know, this is quite frankly as close as you're going to get to a Pixar movie from Disney. It's excellent, kind of like Toy Story for video games,
of
course.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a lot of fun. It's clever, heartfelt, and again, above all, fun. The only problem that I had with it is Wreck-It Ralph play. He spends a little bit too much time in this one game called Sugar Rush, and so all the video game stuff kind of goes out the window. I think it's supposed mm-hmm. to be like Mario Kart or something like that.
Yeah.
But it becomes like Candyland the movie, so you've got all these puns about Oreos and stuff like that, which, you know, it's still a lot of fun, but there's a time and place for that. A different movie. Still, I'm giving it four zines.
Wow, four mm-hmm. zines?
Yeah, yeah, and the best of all is the short at the beginning of the movie. It's called Paper Man. It's a black and white short. It is pure cinematic gold.
That is incredible. Four zines.
Yeah, yeah. It's an excellent
movie. So that's pretty high. What is four zines? Like four, like a B?
It's a B, yeah. I will say that it's not my favorite animated film of the year. My favorite is Frank and Weenie.
Okay. You know, I didn't see that. Is that really good?
Yeah, that one's a five zine.
Five zine?
Yeah.
Frank and Weenie. I've seen it, but I never thought I would see it. I've seen it in the newspaper, but it's a five zine.
It's five zine. That one's excellent. This is a nice runner-up.
Is that animated too?
Yeah, that's animated. Oh. That's claymation. So that one's.
Is it better than Shrek?
Yes. Yes.
I like Shrek.
I like Shrek too. Yeah.
Shrek 1 and 2, especially. Yes. Right.
But yeah.
How about Aladdin? I loved Aladdin.
Yeah.
It's better than Aladdin.
That's more of the old school Disney. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Well, I'm old school. That's the reason. Wow, that's incredible. Okay. Well, and do we have some more reviews after Wayne?
We're going to give away some DVDs a little bit later on in the show, and so we're going to go ahead and we'll talk a little bit about those. But we got some more exciting news right now, don't we?
Yes, we do, because